Hi, it's Diane, and it is March 19th. I'm here with the Noon Group. So far, we have Charlene and Lauren and Jane and Teresa. Who wants to get us started off with celebrations and check-ins?
This is Lauren. I can start.
Thank you, Lauren.
So we've had kind of a rough week, but I am going to celebrate that we are communicating, which I'm thankful for, and I feel like my 17-year-old son is being honest with us, so I'm thankful for that.
Awesome. Love that. Thank you, Lauren. I see that, let's see, who else? I see Maria just joined us, Jennifer just joined us. Somebody from Virginia just joined us. Who's that?
That's Brenda. It's me, Brenda.
Hey, Brenda.
Hi.
Okay. Let me just check and see. Is there anybody that this is your first PSS call that's on?
Mine.
This is mine.
Got a few of you guys that are newbies. Okay. So great. So let me slow down for a second, Lauren. Let's go back and make sure as you introduce. So we start the call. Hopefully everybody got a chance to listen to the orientation call. If not, you're perfectly fine and we'll dance through today. But we're going to, I'm going to go ahead and it looks like a few of you have like a noise in the background. I'm going to mute somebody. So we're going to start with celebrations and check-ins. We'll do a quick around. I expect everybody will have a celebration and a check-in. And then we'll go back around and take aim. And if taking aim is something that's new for you guys, I am more than happy to help you take aim and help you figure out kind of where you want to take aim. We will talk about our topic this week, which is about buy-in and motivation. And I'll talk a little bit, and then we'll talk as a group a little bit. And then as we have time at the end, we'll do some laser coaching and some focusing in on those areas that you're identifying that you want to take aim on. And then before we hang up, I want everybody to be really clear on what their aha was and what their next steps are. So with that introduction, let's go back. And, oh, and when you do introduce yourself, if you could just say, you know, your name and how old your kiddo is. If you have more than one kiddo, feel free to introduce them all. And where you live would be helpful for everybody as well. So, Lauren, can you just go back? You said you have a 17-year-old son.
Sure. I'm Lauren. I'm usually on the Thursday call, but today I'm here. And I have a 17-and-three-quarters-year-old son. I live in Richmond, Virginia, and I was celebrating that we are communicating, and I feel like my son is being honest with us.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Charlene. Oh, wait. Oh. So there you are. I muted you. My fault.
Okay. I'm Charlene. I live in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I have a 12-year-old daughter, and I'm celebrating that she went to a dude camp with her school for 3 days and came home happy and followed directions and was just like a normal, typical child.
Awesome. Love that. Love that. Thank you. Jennifer.
It's going to be I received an email or a letter from the school saying, oh, your student's currently failing these classes that are mandatory for graduation on May 20th. And I, like, was able to say, huh, he's passing now, and disregard the letter.
I love that. That's awesome. And you have almost 18-year-old or an 18-year-old?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've got an 18-year-old son who's a senior in high school. We live outside of Atlanta, Georgia.
Great. Thank you. Jane, what about you?
I'm in Maryland, and I have an 18-year-old son as well, and I wanted to celebrate that he agreed to go to an Outward Bound Pathfinder where they help kids set their goals and life and take the next steps. And I found out that his college plan that we've been saving like all his life for, the 529, will pay for the Outward Bound, as well as he'll get 6 college credits from Western State Colorado University. So he's enthused about it, and the fact that all the college money, is he's not so much into academics as he is to the outside stuff, so he'll get credits that he's interested in, and it's just a good fit. So celebrate that.
Yay, love that. Okay, Brenda.
Hi, I'm in Virginia, in Northern Virginia, and our daughter is 15 years old and in her sophomore year in high school. And I guess I'd like to celebrate. She just came off of a 2-week internship through school, so there wasn't a regular 2-week school with homework, everything. She tried something new and did the winter production, and she had a really great experience, which was really positive. So that was good.
Awesome. Awesome. Maria.
I'd like to celebrate, first of all, outside of Atlanta. I have a 13-year-old daughter, and she just wrapped up 2 weeks of intense testing at her school, the Iowa testing, COGAT, and managed to get through those without any major meltdowns as in years past. Her studies have been consistently picking up, and she made honor roll as well for the quarter. So very proud of her for that.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. And Teresa.
So, Teresa, my daughter is 17 and a half. We're outside of Atlanta, Georgia. And we just were at a family convention over the weekend. So it was overall a good bonding experience. And really, I would say the success was like I'm celebrating my success in the sense that I found myself getting frustrated with her looking or appearing as if she wasn't paying attention and just being a bit distracted and doodling, and then just said, okay, so she keeps telling me doodling is how she pays attention, and to be open to that and to kind of let it go. And so I think it helped keep us you know, well bonded through the weekend. And I think she
awesome.
Had a good
experience.
Well,
how did it feel to, how did it feel to do it?
It felt, I mean, it's something I definitely need to continue to practice, because there's a part of my brain that says the people who are speaking think that you're not paying attention because you're never, ever making any eye contact or looking at them. And if they looked at your paper, so the good news is people think she's taking avid notes, but most of the time she's doodling. But I guess it's true, right? That's is do they actually listen better sometimes? Does the brain work that way when they're?
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. It absolutely okay. does, and I'm laughing as you're sitting there, because I was thinking about the last time I was at a conference, and I was on my phone, and I was taking notes, and I was doing all this stuff, and I'm like, and I was doing it so that I could focus, and I don't have ADHD. I'm just an overwhelmed, you know, middle-aged single mom, but, you know, I think that it's the key here, Teresa, is that you're helping your daughter figure out how her brain works, and you're giving her space to do that. And I think that that's an amazing gift to give any kid. And you're holding her accountable for trying stuff. And so you're checking in with her, you're involving her, and you're managing your frustration in the process. How's that feel?
It does feel great. It does feel great.
Awesome.
Because I usually come down on her for that. And we actually came away with a really great weekend behind us. So. And I actually think she did learn a lot. So it's one of those things, you know, in your head that's probably true, but it's just hard logically to believe it, even though I'm ADD too, and I should maybe understand that. So, but anyway, so it was good. It was good.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So we've got a little bit larger group today, which is awesome, which means that I'm going to do a little bit maybe more facilitating than I do. And so I am going to continue to call on you as we're taking name and as we're checking out, just so that you know, if you're a person who needs a few minutes of processing time, just go ahead and say, come back to me and I will. But I want to kind of keep us moving so everybody has a chance to kind of think through our topic today and take aim and all those other things. So let's go back around. And Lauren, can you kick us off with where you're going to take aim this week?
I will try. I've been thinking all morning about what I'm going to take aim on, and I'm still not sure where to take aim. So okay. I think where I want to take aim is, so my son is almost, he'll be 18 in a few months. He's a junior. He wants autonomy in some areas and not other areas. And I'm struggling with how to balance that. He wants it in the areas that work for him. And not, like, for example, he has a doctor appointment tomorrow that he's supposed to go and get his medication refilled. And I said, you know, he's like, well, I want to be autonomous. I want independence, blah, blah, blah. And so I said, are you okay to go to your doctor appointment on your own? And he's like, well, I can, but I'd rather you go with me. So I'm just struggling.
So hang on a second. Yeah. So, Lauren, let me interject for a second and clarify.
I don't know where to take aim.
Yeah. No. So is your question trying to figure out where to give him a little bit more independence, or is your question more about how to give him more independence on the things he's picked?
I don't know. I don't know, because there's a whole drinking thing that's starting to come up with his friends are starting to drink, and he's been honest about it. But I think he wants to try drinking, and so I just don't know how much to let him do and to try to, I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm not making sense, but I don't know where to take aim.
Well, and so it sounds like you've got kind of this elephant in the room because you're a little bit anxious about what's going on with alcohol, and that's a scary thing for any mom. And you also know that he's getting older, and it's pretty normal for kids to try, and the question is kind of how to create a safe environment around drinking. I'm wondering if you would feel comfortable posting a question in the forum about the drinking and how other parents have handled it, as a way to kind of get a bunch of different viewpoints, because it sounds like on that one you might be at a point where you're just kind of gathering information.
Mm-hmm.
And then
we've talked about it. He's communicating. He's being honest, which he's like, I could just lie like my friends are doing. But I just don't know how to give him I don't know. That's why I don't know what to
do. Well, so I guess the question is, do you want to take aim on that one? Or do you want to take aim on some? What's your instinct?
I really don't know. Take aim. What were the two options you said earlier?
Well, you said helping him become more independent on a few areas, and kind of figuring out what those areas are, or is it specifically around what to do in terms of conversations and actions around his request for drinking?
I guess probably the second one.
Okay. All right. Got it. Okay. Charlene, where are you taking aim?
I have two. Was following through, or I wanted to take aim on getting my daughter a little bit more for social issues, for getting her like interested in what others, her peers are doing, so she doesn't struggle as much socially, but not changing her what she likes to do. You know what I'm saying? Not changing.
So hang on
herself.
A second. Let me just really clear. It sounds like you've got a solution in mind, which is kind of teaching her some skills, but it sounds like, so what's the problem you're trying to solve? That she's in uncomfortable social situations?
Well, she's starting to be, you know, so she's wanting to go more with the because most of her friends are, you know, they're 13 and they're older, they're, you know, boys, all boys, and bad YouTube choices and things like that. But so I want her to be able to be social with them, but not change her values, but still learn to be interested in some of the things, you know, have interest in what they like too.
Okay, so it sounds like what you're doing is you're trying to help her navigate some increasingly difficult social situations where peer pressure might come in. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. How does that feel?
Challenging. Oh, as a take aim? Oh, good.
Yeah, it's a place to take aim. How does that feel, Shirley? That's the first question. Just start there.
Yes,
good. Okay.
That's fine.
Cool. Awesome. Jennifer, where are you taking aim this week?
And come back to me, please.
Yep. Jane.
I would like to take aim to change my son's sleep behavior habits.
So tell me what problem you're trying to solve around sleep.
Well, I'd like to solve that he's sleeping all day and then being awake all night. And so when he doesn't have classes, he thinks it's okay, but then he can't get up and, he goes to school, but then he either has to be drowsy through the classes or fall asleep. And so it's creating difficulty for daytime activities. He's so tired. But he likes his schedule.
So, well, I have two teenagers as well that are in that same age. I've got an 18-year-old and a 19-year-old, and I know very well that, you know, the environment in college and with older kids is, you know, stay up late and sleep in late, and that's part of the way their body chemistry is working. What you and I've talked before, Jane, about focusing on what you want, like, so what's the change you want to see? You want him to be... Is there a problem that sleeping in is causing that, is it that he's not involved with the family? Is it that he's not getting to class in time? What are you noticing that's an unwanted side effect of the sleeping too much or sleeping at different hours than you?
Not achieving any kind of, productive endeavors, such as just, you know, video gaming all night. And it's not just sleeping late, it's all night. And then the next day, just sleeping all day. So, yes, he's at school today and just drags through, and it's just not optimal to get anything done.
So he's not participating in doing anything else other than gaming. So I'm going to challenge you to focus on that piece of it. And I'm just, the thing that just flashed into my head was like a friend of mine back in, right after I finished college, he worked the night shift. And he literally would be sleeping all day and he'd wake up at about 5 o'clock when I'd get off work. And he would, he had a productive life, but he was in a different schedule. And so that sounds like what you're really trying to do is to find a way to have your son do things, more things that you feel are productive or that he feels are productive. Is he accomplishing what he wants to accomplish? How much buy-in do you have right now?
He's not accomplishing what he wants. He has a lot of trouble with procrastination and motivation. And so he wants to be able to get back into shape physically and be able to go on this big mountain hiking trip in the summer. And he's not doing any exercise like he used to, just really existing on eating, sleeping, and video gaming. So,
yeah. Well, so I'm going to, because we're talking about motivation and buy-in, I'm going to suggest you take aim there. And, I'm going to spin it a little bit because it's always easier to focus on what you want instead of what you don't want. And the reality is that we wish that our kids didn't have these crazy sleep schedules, but if they
if they accomplished everything that we wish that they would accomplish, technically we don't have a lot to complain about, you know, because they like the schedule that they're on. And
oh, he
so,
likes it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's, so it's easier to focus on what you want instead of what you don't want in this instance. Is that a good place to pause, Jane? Is that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Brenda, what about you?
I guess I was looking at the six key challenge areas, and I don't know which one to pick. I guess it's life logistics. My husband agreed to doing PSS together, and I'm just trying to figure out how we do it. Like, I haven't – right before we got on this phone call, I was doing the orientation thing. I didn't finish it, but at least I started, and then I thought – oh, that's the thing. It's like I don't have a plan of what are the steps we need to take, the little steps we need to take to kind of start this together.
Yeah, so Brenda, do you want to take aim on how to, is it about getting your husband's buy-in? Is it about figuring out how to get him involved? What do you think is the most
I think I have his buy-in. I think he really wants to do it, but it's like he and I both have ADHD in addition to our daughter.
Uh-huh.
So it's a challenging household. And I tend to be the one that has to be the executive functioning part of the brain, which is already a struggle for me. So
yeah.
I need help with figuring out, you know, if someone could just say, okay, this is the first little step the two of you need to do to get started together. And it might not be like we're doing it together, but at least he's understanding the material as I'm understanding the material, so we can do it together.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Okay. So I just want to double check. Was this, I'm recognizing voices. Was that Brenda?
Yes.
Okay.
This
perfect.
Is Brenda.
Thank you.
Brenda from okay. like many years, Brenda trying to get me going.
Yes, no, I know. I recognize the name. And no, I'm sorry, Brenda. I just, the yes.
No
so
problem.
I got it. So
I
you're
totally
taking
embrace
aim.
It.
No, so what I'm hearing you say is you're going to take aim on how to get going in PSS, particularly in how to involve your husband
yes.
in the process. Okay. And can I just ask a question, Brenda? Did you, were you already in Sanity School before you started PSS, or did you get, you? I know everybody has a copy of Sanity School now, but... were you in
never
Sanity, Sanity School
it.
Before?
I,
okay,
I,
cool.
I've looked at Sanity
no
School.
No problem at all.
Yeah, never got through the whole thing.
Okay, so part of what I want to do for everybody is now that we've everybody who has Parent Success System now has access to get in Sanity School. And if any of you have been in Parent Success System for a while and want to get access to Sanity School, just send us a note and we'll get you a login and make sure you're in there. Part of what I'll do in this conversation, Brenda, is recommend go back and listen to Module 2 or go back and listen to this section on X and that sort of stuff. And so hopefully that'll help you as we go through the process today and through all the other weeks as we are talking about these different topics.
Great.
Is that fair?
Yes. Thank you.
Cool. All right. Maria, where do you want to take aim?
Well, I'm listening to everybody really thinking about trying to figure it out. And my daughter spends hours every night doing homework. She's highly motivated to get good grades, and she is successful, but it takes her a long time. And we've, you know, throughout the course of the years, we've done different things to help her succeed, and it has helped. But as the coursework ramps up, and especially in third quarter, or in fourth quarter now, she is, you know, up, she's up late every night. I mean, she'll be up till midnight doing homework, and then she expects to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And as a parent, I can't get her up that early, you know, when she only has 6 hours. But so I guess where I want to take aim on is her being able to get through her homework, have enough time to do her extracurricular, which is takes up a lot of her time as well, and get adequate sleep. So it is a little multifaceted on the take aim, but Maybe it's staying focused with homework so that she has some free time to be on her phone and, you know, watch a show or play a game or something like that, because she's very much technically inclined, as most ADHD kids are, or just in general kids are like that these days. So I want her to be able to get to bed earlier, because that concerns me.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you notice that the reason, one of the reasons she's not getting to bed, not getting enough sleep, is because she's taking longer to do her assignments than technically she probably could, because she's kind of losing focus while she's in the middle of it. And so you'd like to kind of look at this idea of you know, speeding up the process for homework, so that that will hopefully get her some more sleep, so that that will hopefully get her up and more comfortably up early.
Yes.
Okay.
And balance things out, because I wind up staying up with her. My husband goes to bed because he's got to be up so early. I wind up staying up late with her to make sure she's, you know, kind of on task and getting it done. You know, assisting her if she needs anything. She's pretty much very self, you know, she does everything on her own. But there have been times throughout the course of the year where I've had to, you know, intervene a little bit. But she's conscientious. She just, her staying focused is very difficult. And we've tried different things. I said, well, change subjects, you know, go on to a different subject. And while that sounds great in theory, she doesn't always shift that gear. And so I need help with that, because I feel like if she can keep focused with the homework, she'll have some free time, or she can have downtime. And, you know, I've said, hey, you can watch it, something for 5 minutes once everything's over. It's just getting that consistency going. So I definitely need to take aim with that.
Awesome. That makes sense. Okay. Teresa, what about you?
Okay. So, well, the theme really continues to be the tension with social media. And but I guess it would be she feels like I'm looking over her shoulder too much and, quote unquote, invading her privacy when it comes to social media. And overall, actually, she's getting excellent grades. She had recently a 70-something in math and was asking me to, like, oh, we've got to tell them I've got to drop from honors to regular math class, you know. And I was getting sucked right into the, you know, urgency. Oh, I got to make a, you know, talk to the school, you know, because she's just getting so anxious over this. And does it really matter that she's in honors or regular? I'm not sure they would switch you in the last. But interestingly, speaking about motivation, she recently looked at me and said, Mom, if I could get, would you get me some new shoes if I could, if I got straight A's? And I'm ready to, like, just laugh at her. And I stopped myself, and I just calmly said, yeah, Jacqueline, yeah.
Awesome.
If you get straight A's, like, yeah, we'll get you new shoes. And then she just texted me her 98 on her last honors math test, and the one before that was a 92. So it's really shocking to me what she can do.
What motivates her.
Shoes.
Yeah, that's true.
but in the meantime, you know, the issue is, you know, she just came off of a breakup with a boyfriend, and I'm seeing the lack of impulse, you know, instead of just being willing to suffer and reflect and think, okay, what do I need to know or understand about myself or the situation? You know, she has these friends that don't go to our school that are Snapchat friends. And then all of a sudden, you know, 3 days after she breaks up with her boyfriend, they, you know, find out she's not, quote unquote, going out with anyone. And so then she starts texting one of them, and it pretty much was an ongoing constant texting all the time.
So hang on a second. Teresa, Teresa, I'm going to facilitate because I'm watching our time. So it sounds like you're taking aim on how much you're looking over her shoulder with social media. And I appreciated your comment about the motivation because I'll bring that into the conversation today and today's topic. Okay. Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay. Jennifer, just quickly, what do you take a name on? Do you have us on mute? She may have us on mute and need to have us on mute. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and move in. So we are on page 46, I think, of the workbook. We're talking about getting buy-in and finding motivation. And this is a really important component to this, is we're talking about the process of helping our kids to become more independent, right? So whether it's becoming more independent in getting to bed on time or becoming more independent in terms of making good decisions in social situations or becoming more independent in, getting their homework done, so all of these different components, we're really talking about helping our kids to become more independent. And a couple of the key components that help us to help these kids become more independent are really looking at buy-in and motivation. And we talk about this a lot in Module 2 and Module 5 of Sanity School. So if you guys haven't listened to Module 2 or Module 5 in a while, we, go back and listen to the module. We talk about the five motivators, and they're listed here in your workbook: novelty, competition, urgency, interest, and humor or play. And they spell the word pinch out. But the thing about this important about motivation, because we've got older kids, is that sometimes motivation is internal and sometimes it's external and sometimes it's what's called intrinsic. And so as our kids mature, intrinsic motivation is that stuff where they do things just because it's the right thing to do, right? And so, or they think it's the right thing to do. So when our kids are really young, they're motivated by doing things for us. Well, mom wants me to do this, so I'm going to do it. Or the teacher said we're supposed to do it this way, so I want to please the teacher. So younger kids will often have that desire to have just that sense of accomplishment, sense of a pride from external feedback. Others just want to do things well for themselves. They're very proud of what they do. And that actually takes a level of maturity that sometimes with our kids with their executive function delays, they don't develop those internal motivations until much later. And so we often need to come in with an external motivation. So a reward system, a consequence, something that brings in that sense of motivation over time is important. And so with these kids, it's important not just to understand what motivates them, but to help them understand the role of motivation. Because as our kids get older, they need to know that part of, if they want to accomplish something, part of it is figuring out how to get their brain engaged. So that sometimes this works, sometimes it doesn't. The key to that is really figuring out, am I motivated? And then just a word about buy-in. As you guys were going through and taking aim, one of the key components of this whole thing is how bought in are they? And so if we've got something we're taking aim on that we really want, it's a change that we really want to see. And Jane, I'm going to pick on you for a second because you were saying, I want him to get more sleep at night because he's not getting anything done during the day. But if he has no interest in going to bed early and you have no buy-in there, your ability to kind of focus in on that is going to be very different than something that he's like, oh, I'm afraid that I'm constantly late for work and I don't want to get it fired. He's got that motivation and that buy-in to see that to change the situation. So with all of these situations, would love for you guys to go back and look at the role that motivation and buy-in plays in your ability to kind of really take aim on something. So what comes up for everybody around this topic?
This is Jane, and I'll pipe in because of talking about what I want him to do, but it's also what he wants to do. He wants to be able to be in better shape, And that means in the daytime getting out and doing some exercise routine or hiking like he used to do.
Yeah.
But
yep.
He says, I will tomorrow. And that's, you know, his favorite word is
tomorrow
or so I will. And
so, yeah. So I'm going to interject. So here, that's a great example. So if you focus on how do you help him to get what he wants, which is more exercise? So let go of the whole getting sleep, because getting more sleep is one possible solution. A lot of times with our kids, what's helpful is to give them ideas if they need them, or just help him figure out what he wants to try. So I hear you say tomorrow, and it feels like tomorrow never comes. Do you ever notice that, you know, XYZ is not happening and you want it to happen? Get his buy-in. Hey, do you want some help in figuring out how to get more exercise? No, I've got it. Or yes, I do. And then saying, well, what are three things you might try to make sure you remember to get up and get out the door and get some exercise? You know, so you're putting it back in his plate, giving him some ideas if he needs the ideas, but just prompting to the challenge, which is, well, what do you want to try? You want to get more exercise? What are three things you might try? And one of them might be, well, I need to get to bed earlier, but it might not be.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Thoughts?
I'm not so. This is Charlene. I'm not so sure how to get buy-in for making right choices with in social situations.
So, how much of a problem does she see that it is?
None. She doesn't think it's a problem. I mean, it's not yet. You know, I mean, I don't want to interject it either. But
well, so here's the thing. It's like, so if it's not a problem, then from her perspective, and it's not technically a emergency or an urgent situation on your side of it either. Is there a way to really focus in on something that, in the meantime, Charlene, that you do have more buy-in from her on, and just find subtle ways to have the conversations with her about it while it's kind of in this building phase? Does that distinction make sense?
Yeah.
So what would it mean to not let it go completely, but not make it a big thing since you don't have buy-in?
Oh, I've kind of been trying to do that gradually, you know, with little hints here or talk when we're talking, like with the radio, with one of the songs or something, you know, I'm trying to get her ideas on what she thinks that would mean, you know, because some of these songs can be pretty...
Yeah. Well, and I love that. It's a subtle sort of thing. It's like the learning lessons happen in seconds with our kids as they're maturing. And I think about, you know, with little kids, when you're trying to teach them emotional intelligence, you know, it's kind of like, hey, did you notice that lady in the grocery store who was comforting her little two-year-old? What do you think was going on with the two-year-old? You know, so it's like you're talking about, you're observing what you see in the world. And you're talking about it and taking those learning moments. I think that's a great idea, Charlene.
Okay, great.
What is it that you need to be, so here's the question that's popped in my head. What do you need to be willing to let go of in order to not make this like the center of attention right now?
I guess my fear of her feeding into social, you know, some kind of social thing just to have friends.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, so that's the thing, is if you can let go of your fear, and that's the hard thing, right? So it's easy to catastrophize when you think about some of these social situations, and I think about the comment Lauren made about drinking earlier. It's easy to get sucked up into the fear, and when we get afraid, we go into fight or flight. And when we go into fight or flight, or even overwhelm and worry, It's like, we got to fix it now. That emergency bell goes off in our head and we're like, oh my gosh, I have to fix it now. I have to teach them how to make good decisions. And they have to be, you know, our value, their values have to be solid, or this is going to happen. And so we start spinning. And so, and you might even lose the opportunity to kind of take these little bits of moment of time to make the change, to give the advice and make the suggestions. So how do you remember to let go of the fear a little bit, Charlene?
Breathe deep.
No, breathe just, deep. I guess love that.
To take the situation as it is now.
And trust that it's fine. All is well, right? It's not. There's nothing. There's no emergency. The world's not ending. I love that. And I think that's the thing, is that fear management is no different than trigger management. And so, if any of you guys are struggling with, you know, your own fears and you're catastrophizing, you can apply the stuff that we taught in Module 2 of Sanity School, where we talk about the 4 steps to trigger management. To managing your own fear. What's my fear? How do I reclaim my brain? What's a more positive thought? How do I act with that more positive thought? You know, all of those 4 steps can be really helpful. Thank you. Thank you, Charlene. Other thoughts?
Okay. This is Teresa. I'm going to follow Charlene because I really feel like, my concern is very similar about making good choices, because really she has, I would say she has made a couple of steps outside of guidelines and pre-discussed expectations with regard to social media. And so, but I do also know, so I don't have her buy-in about that at all, because she seems to not be willing to listen or understand why the choices she's made that were outside of our guidelines could lead her down a slippery slope, which ultimately could lead to very bad decisions.
So this is a great example. So you've got a sense of what the rules should be around social media. She gets conceptually that there should be rules, but her buy-in for what specifically is in there, it may not be aligned with yours. And so how do you start a conversation about what the rules should be instead of focusing on why you aren't following our rules? Does that distinction make sense with a 17-year-old?
Yeah, of course it does. And yeah, I guess what's frustrating is that I thought we had done that by even before she received a phone and then received first one social media app and then the second. We talked about the fact that her friends needed to be limited to people she knew.
Well, so
you know,
hang on a second.
Okay.
So my question is, when you set the rules, how much of it was you guys telling her what the rules should be, and how much of it was a collaborative conversation about what the rules should or shouldn't be and what might be too strict from her perspective?
That's a really challenging question because we tried to make it a discussion and a collaborative effort, but I think, don't you think it would be short-sighted to think that they would have wisdom on, if to get buy-in might often mean letting them do things that are harmful to themselves. It's been helpful to me to understand that her 17-and-a-half-year-old brain is maybe 1 or 2 or 3 years behind her peers.
Right. It's hard to figure out how to collaborate. And as parents, we kind of have 3 choices. We have at the very core of it. Choice number 1 is we tell them what to do. Choice number 2 is we let them do whatever they want to do. And choice number 3 is we find a way to collaborate together. And especially with the older kids group, I feel like we should 90-some percentage of the time be in that space in the middle. And it's a dialogue. It's not a setting the rule and moving forward. And so she's having a hard time following the rules that you thought she agreed to. It's a great opportunity for a conversation there. It's like, hey, I thought that this was the deal, and I'm noticing that it's hard for you. What part of it's really hard, and how do we keep you safe and let you have what you want? I mean, so you're really trying to figure out how to give her what she needs, and which may be control, or it may be access at a different time of day, or it may be she wants to meet new people, or it may be she wants to feel a sense of adventure. I mean, so part of it is getting curious here, Teresa, and we all use that curiosity tool. And staying in that place of, well, so when you do this, how does it feel, and what's important to you about it, and I want to give you what you want, and I want to do it in a safe way. And so that's where the collaboration happens. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yep.
Okay, cool. Other thoughts on this idea of buy-in and motivation?
This is Lauren, and I'll follow up to that, because I think it's the root of my challenge, is that we have had, back to the drinking, we have had conversations about it, and I feel like we are collaborating on it, but in doing so, I mean, he said that in several, there's been three situations, and he's made good choices and good decisions in all of those situations, and that we need to trust him, and, but I think that's my challenge is now, like, you know, just let him go and, like, hope things turn out well. I think it's more my challenge.
Well, it might be interesting, Lauren, to ask him that question and say, I'm in this really difficult situation because it's scary as anything. And there's part of me that wants to just let you go and try something and see what happens. And there's part of me that, like, wants to protect you and keep you in a little bubble. And what you know, again, it's just sort of looking for the win-win. You want to feel like he's being safe. He wants to feel like he's being independent. And you're partnering with him to figure out what the scaffolding is. So is it, you know, he can go, but he has to go with a friend that's not going to drink. He can go, but he has to text you every 30 minutes and or whatever. You know, it's like that sort of you're figuring out how to help him get what he needs and to make sure he's as safe as you feel like he needs to be.
Right.
So how do you start that conversation with him?
Well, we started it, and he says, I'm responsible. I need to be in these situations where I can be around alcohol and make good choices, and he feels very strongly against drinking and driving, so that's positive, but he still is not even 18. So, I mean, we've been talking about it, and he's saying he's responsible, and but now I'm, again, and we'll just need to keep talking about it, but I'm kind of like, okay, like, he has been responsible, but do I just say, it's really hard, like, sending your kid off to a party and knowing there's going to be drinking there and hoping that they make good choices, and he has, but it's just still, I think he wants to try it. I mean, he said that he does. So
you're feeling really this, you're in this situation where finding the baby step is hard, right? Because it feels like there's this cliff, right? And so we're always looking for the next step of independence and the next step of independence. But it feels like there's this big giant step, which is being alone in an environment where he might drink. And so the question is, do you, you know, what is the scaffolding that you put in place for yourself that's going to make you feel more safe in that situation? Because you know at some point he's going to take that step, whether it's now or, you know, once he gets to college or when he's living on his own. I mean, at some point he's going to take that step where he's exposed to a situation where he has to figure out, you know, how do I make a good decision for myself when there's alcohol around?
Mm-hmm.
So how will you know, number one, when you're ready to let him do it, and and what will you need to feel safe enough?
Mm-hmm.
Feels like a good conversation to have with him.
Yeah, it does. I will. Okay.
Okay, cool.
Thank you.
Other thoughts?
I guess, this is Brenda. I was thinking, you know, about, I guess right now we're at the point where I'm just starting trying to figure out buy-in to make sure my husband is motivated to do this PSS, and I am too.
Because I'm struggling with my own ADHD, my own depression, and I'm just like, you know, I've been telling myself to do this, just do one thing at a time.
Well, and I think that that's the piece of it. So once the motivation is in place, you know that, so it's, do you hyper-focus and do you engage that hyper-focus part of your brain and say, okay, we're going to give ourselves a reward. If we can get module one done by Saturday at 4 o'clock, then we'll, and this is my motivation, we'll go out for beers and burgers on Saturday night for dinner. You know, it's, what do you do to help engage your brain? Is it motivating your brain to get started? Because my guess is, hang on a second, let me slow down. You've got an executive function challenge that's making it hard to do it. Is it activation? Is it distractibility? What do you notice about yourself?
Oh, it's all those. Right now, I know there's like a window where I'm like not in a deep depression right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're just about to start spring break next week for a week. So there won't be this every night of trying to get homework done.
Great. So you've got this little window. So you've time to jump in.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If I could just figure out where to start. And
so, Brenda, let me give you homework. Right?
Sure.
Because you've got some executive function. I'm going to challenge you to go back and listen with your husband to Module 2 of Sanity School.
Okay. That's where we start. Listen to Module 2.
I think so, because you're going to learn about the executive function challenges, and you can look at what both of your own challenges are and figure out, is it, you know, where does it start to get in the way, and how do you accommodate each other? You know, what are the systems and the things that you need to get started and to get going or to follow through or whatever it is? And start there, because it's a great kind of landing place.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
That feels great, and I'm glad you mentioned reward, because it never occurs to me to, like...
Give yourself a reward? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going out for burgers. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm glad you said that, because my husband's good with that, but I'm terrible at it. So that is our homework. We're going to start with Module 2.
Well, and Brenda, go back to that list of the five motivators and look at what motivates your brain. You know, is it novelty? Is it competition? Is it urgency? You know, figure out how to apply some of those motivators to yourself and getting some of this stuff done.
So
no,
look at the
list
of the five motivators and figure that out for myself. Okay.
Yep. Okay. Cool.
Okay. Thank
awesome.
You.
So we're going to wrap up. We've got the four questions on page 47, which is where we do our wrap up. So everybody take just a couple minutes, write down some notes. What did you focus on? What's your clarity? What did you take away as an aha? What's the realistic action step for you to take? And how do you set yourself up for success? So I would love to hear some ahas and some action items from the group as soon as you are ready. Who wants to go first?
Well, this is Jane. I'll go first. I like to concentrate on the idea of the collaboration as working with my son in partnership because of his age and his desire to be independent. So I think that
of that.
Good takeaway.
Perfect.
To continue
awesome.
With.
Who else?
I'll go. The aha was that I always forget to reward myself and probably others as we're making progress and taking our little steps. So that's a great aha. And I feel like I've got an action plan of, you gave me a great homework. It's very concrete. I do Module 2 with my husband, and I look at the five motivators for myself and kind of explore how to keep myself motivated.
Awesome. Love that. Who else?
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to my aha is to keep calm and not catastrophize a situation. I am going to try to make more of an effort to observe all, like, the little behaviors that I see in teens and tweens on TV and or the music, and talk with my daughter about the decisions that she would think would be good for herself, to make
awesome.
Her more aware of what she, choices she's making.
Awesome. You've got great, you're a great mom, Charlene, and you've got lots and lots of years here to keep framing those decisions. Doesn't mean she's not going to make bad decisions. A lot of kids do, but she's got a mom in her camp that's going to help her make better decisions.
Thank you. And hopefully when she does, she learns from them.
Well, that's a whole other conversation about working
yeah.
memory. Who else?
Okay, so this is Teresa. I do think that the triggers/fears is important, again, for me to focus on. And the takeaway was really how important the buy-in is and to have that collaborative conversation, because she'll never be successful if she doesn't have buy-in. I mean, we'll constantly be failing. I'm going to go back as well and re-listen to Module 2 and continue to work on my trigger points and fears and how to the toolbox to help with that.
Awesome. Thanks. Lauren.
Yes, I am going to have a conversation about how to help him get what he feels like he needs and get me what I feel like I need.
Awesome.
Mostly that I feel like he's, how can he let me know he's making good choices, and then how can he feel independence?
Well, was there a particular aha that you had that you'd share, Lauren?
Yes, that was my aha.
Got it. The collaboration piece of it? Good.
Yeah.
All right. Maria.
Well, I'm struggling a little bit, to be honest, but I do think I need to focus on several things, the way I approach it, and to just talk with her and, you know, ask her, you know, how many times do you want me to check in with you to see how you're doing? You know, what help do you want? What don't you want? And I do think that there needs to be like a cutoff time, because when she has homework, when she gets done with ballet, she's, you know, I mean, she'll just do it until she drops. And
yeah.
So she's got the motivation and the desire to succeed because she likes the feeling of getting, you know, being on a principal's list or being on an honor roll. She loves that. But it can't be to the, you know, where she's not getting
the
rest.
Yeah.
She's getting her home.
Right.
You know, so.
You're in this great situation because you've got a 13-year-old, Maria, and I think that this is a great place to kind of have a collaborative conversation. There's no reason that you can't kind of put a boundary in place, and you know, it's just a matter of what the impact of that is, right? So there are plenty of parents that would say, you know, I want to go to sleep, and I remember doing this myself, honestly. I want to go to sleep at 11 o'clock, 11:30, if there's a big project you're working on, and I know you want to stay up and get stuff done. What, you know, how do we go back to that conversation? How do we come up with a win-win? You know, is it me checking in with you more frequently while you're working on your work? Is it when you know something's particularly intense, me actually sitting in the room with you, reading my book while I'm, you know, there's lots, and you want to partner with her to brainstorm ideas, because there's not going to be any one right answer. And the more you involve her in the process, the more buy-in you'll have. Does that make sense?
It does. And we've done all that, you know, and a lot of times when I give her more free rein and then I like quietly check in, I find her, you know, oh, I was just taking a break, but maybe she's, you know, watching something or she's dancing. And I know you need to get up and move. We bought her a desk, you know, one of those sit stand desks so she can, you know, change it up. But it's just from, you know, getting her to remember to do these things. I feel like she needs little nudges. But I don't want to be that helicopter parent, but she needs all the scaffolding. You know, I'm just trying to do it in such a way that's not intrusive and just helps her, you know, do the best that
well,
she
and
can
I think
do.
That this is the thing. So there's no right answer, and what you're just describing is exactly the dance, right? So it's this sort of how do you scaffold and help her to feel independent at the same time and find that right mixture. And some days it might be more than others. And so figure out how to kind of have that conversation with her and dance a little bit and see what changes when you're consciously trying different things. Does that resonate, Maria?
Yes, it does.
Awesome. Okay. I'm going to just check back with Jennifer to see if she's got us off mute. Is there anything you want to say in wrap up, Jen? Okay, she's either got us on mute or she's just listening. All right, great call, everybody. Thanks for dancing with me. Next week is an office hour call on, when is it? It is Tuesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern. And then we're on PSS again. We've got a spring break for us the week of April 1st. So there'll be nothing that week, and then we'll have PSS again the week of April 8th. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.